On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. So glad you're here today. You might be listening live on 1150 AM KKNW here in the Seattle area, or you might be listening live on Transformation Talk Radio from anywhere around the world, or on one of the numerous podcasts that sends up later, including on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening from, you're going to be glad you joined us today, because we're going to be talking about the shaming associated with fat. And I know that this is something that affects so many of us. But before I get into details and about our wonderful guest, I want to say good morning to the man who does the technological magic so you can hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Hi there, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I'm a little shell-shocked about the amount of rain. I know it's Seattle, and I know that you know people think, oh, it rains a lot. Yes, it rains often here. But the downpours were a little shocking. There was flooding on the freeway this morning.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think Mother Nature is making up for lost time in the last couple of weeks, because we've actually had a fairly mild fall.
Yeah, I know.
And it's been very warm. I noticed the pumpkins that I carved with the boys a couple of weeks ago didn't nearly last as long, which kind of frustrated us.
Right.
But it happens. That means we just got to push a little bit later into the year to carve those bad boys. Other than that, Halloween was great.
What were your boys? Yes. Let's talk about your boys first, and then we'll talk about the exciting news here at Hubbard.
So Jango Fett was Ethan, and a Mind Creeper, or one of the characters from the Minecraft series the kids are into these days. He dressed up as one of those. And moi, of course, we alluded to it on last week's show. I was Larry Culpepper Jr. I was the son of Larry Culpepper, the character for the Dr. Pepper I guess he's a mascot for the Dr. Pepper series or whatever you want to call
right,
it.
Right.
I won!
You did! You were number one! And there was a cash prize associated with it.
Congratulations. Yes, congratulations to me. Yes, yes. And, I'll give myself a round of applause. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, yes, yes.
And I hope that none of the colleagues here at Hubbard Radio are listening, but I voted for you, Benny.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a tough competition, as always. I mean, we do go really crazy here with all of the costumes and just the party itself, and having a lot of creativity just overflowing from all the other people here.
Oh, it's fabulous.
And, you know, for me, you know, I'm on the air and I'm stuck in, you know, this little room pretty much for 12 hours each day, you know, or 8 hours or whatever. I don't really get to see a lot of the other, you know, coworkers, employees.
Sure.
So it's good to see them, you know, and their creativity, you know, flow and all together. So it was really cool. And you look great. You look great.
Thank you. My standard witch costume. Yes.
It was better than that. Come on.
One of my other favorites was the woman who dressed up as like before and after having children. So one side was like all perfect and dressed up, and the other half was like kind of messed up, you know, hair was every which way, makeup wasn't quite right. She was sort of had PJs on the one side. It was perfect.
You've seen it basically. What is it? It's like a two-faced version of, it was a mother of this area, the Bellevue mom, so to speak. And so half of her face and right down to the, you know, costume was how she woke up, you know, dealing with kids.
Yes.
And the other half of her was going out on the town with wine and nice hair.
Right.
She did a great job.
She did.
Yeah, and to hold that the whole day, I don't know, I was impressed. I had to put mine on like at the last minute, so it did.
Yours was fabulous.
We all did a good job. But thank you.
And I'm really excited about my guest today. Somebody I know personally, and I know that you know, there are many guests we have on who we either find through publicists, or they're people that everybody knows, and some of those big names I know, and some of them I don't. But this is somebody I met, and when we met, we connected, and it was kind of like, she's a bright light, and she's got major gifts to offer, and I'm so grateful that she has a book out now. And the person I'm talking about is Nicole Black. She is what she calls a practical influencer. She has lived the help that she's offering about fat shame. She's born from a hands-on whole body background as a certified Rolfer. She's a yoga teacher, and she's a survivor of body image and eating disorders and their causes. She's an advocate of holistic transformation, where a person's well-being comes through the integration of mind, spirit, and body, creating changes that start on the inside and flourishes outward. Her work has not only led to great change in her own life, and we're going to hear about that. It's really cool. But in other lives as well. And she's the author of a relatively new book that is already a bestseller. It is called Fat Shame. Ditch the shame, get confident, and claim the life you deserve. I'd like to welcome to our show today, Nicole Black. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Christine. Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm so grateful that you've got this book out, because this is something that affects so many women in our culture, and I suspect many men as well. But I was fascinated. You and I had chatted a bit about your background, but I got to learn lots more about it in your book. So tell us, how did you come about getting to the place where you were writing a book about fat shame?
That's an interesting question, Christine, because as a former CEO of a very successful multi-unit bakery, when I first said, no, I'm going to start writing, I was going to write a book about how millennials could get hired in today's society, because I would interview a lot of millennials, and I just wasn't impressed with, you know, that they didn't know answers to very basic questions.
Right.
And I truly thought that that is what I was going to write about, but I probably saw a Disney movie or something and realized that you need to really, if you're going to write something, you have to write about something that makes your heart sing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, helping other people from a deeper level is what really makes my heart sing. You know, helping people get hired, it's a worthwhile venture, and I may end up writing that book. But at the time, I just thought, you know, there's so many people that get shamed for everything, and it's not just about, like, you know, what you look like. It's, oh, you're going to you're going to buy that car. You know, people will shame each other for everything.
Yes. And there's a lot of shaming in parenting, which I tried to kind of nip that in the ancestral bud, so to speak, you know, and not pass that along to my children. I'm sure I did to a certain degree, but I got that from a lot of my parents. I see it with parents in grocery stores, and I know that it's rampant. What is it about shame that's not effective?
I think that the reason why people do shame is it's a habituated pattern that we're used to, and it's, you know, it's been acceptable this whole time. But when you shame someone, you're effectively telling them that your way is better. Mm-hmm. And because we only live in our own bodies, we can't tell somebody else what is best for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you talk in your book about you being the subject of a lot of fat shame. And of course, I've met you, we've had dinner together, we've hung out together, and I've seen how tiny you are. Tell us a story about so tell us a story about your struggle with fat.
Well, I think that what would happen is going back and like retracing your roots, I think that a lot of it came from insecurity, which probably started somewhere around kindergarten, right? And, you know, I was attacked, and as a teenager, I was raped, and the guy got off and didn't serve any time. And then they later found out that he was, wanted for lots of horrible things in the South. And so they extradited him there, and he did serve time in California for lying about his name under oath, but he never served time for what he did to me.
So
and a big part of me felt very invisible.
Right. So can we just like pause in the story for a minute? Because this was, you were 14 years old, you were raped repeatedly by somebody who had kind of befriended you, who was older. And when you got home, you did what probably most any sane person would do, and that was shower.
Yep.
And that showered off the evidence, and that's why he would not get convicted within the context of what he did to you.
Well, he didn't, but there were people that, I mean, aside from my own family members, there was a member of law enforcement who knew that I was telling the truth. Because when he went to pick, he saw, you know, the description of the guy that I had given, and he saw him. And he went up to the man, and he said, I'd like to bring you in for questioning. And my attacker said to the police officer, "Are you here about what I did to that little girl?" And the cop had no choice, had to Mirandize him. But he knew. That right. cop knew.
Yeah.
And he's still a police officer. He's a lieutenant in Santa Monica now. And still, I'm sure, a wonderful human being. But he knew that I wasn't lying. And you know what? I think that that is what, in some small, insignificant way, made me feel a little bit better. Because the district attorney, I don't know if it's that she thought that I was lying, but what her whole thing was, you know, we'll just plea this out. And, you know, at 14, you don't know much about the justice system, but that doesn't sound like justice being served.
Right.
It didn't to me. And I really felt like that was where I started the cycle of, well, maybe I just shouldn't be seen.
Right.
Such an oxymoron, right? You gain weight, you're way more visible.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny because you ask anybody that's severely overweight, when they walk outside, people will not look at you. No eye contact. Nothing.
Yes, isn't that interesting? I'm fascinated by that. I don't get it. Why
I don't
is
get
that?
It either.
Are they afraid that if they look that person in the person's going to see that they're getting judged? Or are they thinking if they look them in the eye that they too are going to gain weight? I mean, I don't really get it.
I'm guessing it's probably the latter, right?
Uh-huh,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, you're not perfect, or you don't fit into the perfect mold of what I think that you should look like.
Uh-huh.
But we don't get to have a say in what anybody else looks like except for ourselves.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, this is a fascinating story, Nicole. We're going to be going to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to tell more about your story of your weight gain and some of the fat shaming, which is just astounding, but it's also quite believable, and how you found your way out of it. Stay tuned for more with the wonderful Nicole Black here in just a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla-Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Nicole Black, author of Fat Shame. Now, Nicole, you talked about how after the rape, after the attack, something shifted within you and you started to want to become invisible and therefore put on weight. And to me, like, adding weight when you like have fear of getting sexual interest makes perfect sense, right? Like, you talk about wanting to be invisible and women getting bigger. If they've had some sort of trauma, it makes sense to me that you sort of, you don't want to attract that because it's going to reopen that wound.
Correct. I'm not saying that everybody that's overweight has been sexually traumatized.
Right.
I definitely don't want people to think that I'm saying that.
Yeah.
That was my story.
Uh-huh.
And I do find that it is a lot of women's stories, but I'm also finding, Christine, it's a lot of men's stories as well.
Interesting. And, you know, when I did that TEDx talk on the value of feeling like an outsider and was talking about sexual assault, I was shocked to see the statistics. I knew that there were lots and lots of girls growing up who were molested. And the CDC estimated like 25% of all girls. But I was particularly shocked to see that for males, before they reach the age of 18, 17% have had molestation. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And it, you know, I think that, you know, like, I'm 47. So when I was growing up, this was not on the news. It wasn't prevalent. It was definitely not spoken of.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't think that it's any worse today than it was, you know, 30-plus years ago.
Yeah.
I think that we just talk about it more now,
right,
which is healthier.
It is, although it is, you know, sort of a tangential, but I think that with Christine Blasey Ford stating what happened to her when she was a teenager with Kavanaugh, and then having a whole bunch of politicians saying, giving her the proverbial pat on the head, either we don't believe you or it doesn't matter, I think that may be setting us back. And I'm hoping we get to the point where women, regardless of the consequences, and men, regardless of the consequences, are able to say, yes, it happened to me, and that person did it.
What she experienced is very similar to kind of what I went through.
In what way?
Well, you know, and not having people believe you.
Uh-huh,
you know, because there were, some of the people believed her, some of the people didn't.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's not for us to judge, right?
Mm.
Like, I wasn't there. But I tend to believe women when they say things like that, because most of the time, I believe when someone is telling you something, they're not lying about something like that. I would hope that they would.
Yeah, and when you take a look at who had the most to lose, you know,
she did.
Absolutely. she did.
She had so much to look at,
right,
everything that she stood to lose, and she still came forward.
Yeah.
For me, my heart, like, filled with so much emotion and so much pride that another woman would say, I'm going to stand up for women everywhere.
Right.
Not right.
Yeah.
Now, what happened?
Yes.
Did she win? No. I mean, we'll be honest, right?
Uh-huh.
He is going to do whatever he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is that she stood up,
right,
knowing full well that, you know, it was probably going to backfire on her.
Right.
And she did it for women everywhere. I love that woman.
I do too. And I think that there's an aspect of women coming together in that pain and that anger and the grief associated with it that is going to help empower change, sort of shifting things in our society, but it's painful process.
Well, and it's baby steps, right?
Yeah.
How many years have women been allowed to vote?
less than 100 years, yes.
Exactly. We all want change, and we want it yesterday, because in society, you know, we have, like, we can go to the supermarket, and you can grab that candy bar at the register or whatever, but change doesn't happen that quickly.
Yeah.
It's actually a little slower than that, but that's, you know, that's how we live now. We can supersize everything, and we can make it happen instantaneously.
But I think that there is an aspect of change that depends upon us sort of illuminating what is and coming to terms with it. And coming to terms with it may mean, you know, saying, this was my experience, this is my pain. Coming to terms with it is looking at, say, the structure of our society and saying something's broken here because of how women are getting treated. But we have to come to some sort of illumination and acceptance in order to create the change. So for me, I think that's like the crux of it. So I think that we could experience some really quick change. I'm actually optimistic about that. But getting back to the situation, the sexual assault and the aftermath, and you said you started putting on weight after that, correct?
Well, I put on weight in an attempt to hide.
Uh-huh.
Now, I didn't get as big as I got when I ended up multiple times when I got to 225 pounds and then ended up needing surgery. But it was big enough that I wasn't attractive to the opposite sex.
Right.
So guys weren't asking me out.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt a lot safer for me.
Sure.
And then when I did end up having a relationship, I didn't have my first boyfriend until I was in my 20s. Early 20s, and he was really abusive.
Oh.
And I think that there was a part of me that didn't realize that I just deserved better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I get that. So, if...
He called me fat, ugly, and stupid a lot. Oh. So that whole fat thing was reinforced. Right. And the funny thing is that I wasn't obese when I was with him. Uh-huh. I was probably chunky at times, but you know, I would go to Jenny Craig. I mean, I did every diet on the planet. They all work. They absolutely all work. But you know, that reinforcement of like somebody being so mean and negative, it was like he saw the inside of me and reinforced every negative emotion that I had about myself.
Mm-hmm. So what you've talked about in your book and what you're talking about right now is that it's what's inside of you. And it wasn't about the external fat or excess weight or even the body that's not, you know, societal perfection, whatever that happens to be at the moment. What is it that's going on inside when we feel that shame?
Well, you know, there is always a struggle inside of us, right, between, like, good and bad, do the right thing and do the thing that's right for you right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there's, like, the story of the two wolves and the grandfather, and I really relate to that story because...
Well, first of all, tell us the story.
Okay, so I'll paraphrase the story, but, you know, a young boy says to the grandfather, you know, which wolf wins, the good wolf or the bad wolf? And, you know, the good wolf is full of things like empathy and acceptance and, you know, kindness. And the bad wolf is, you know, full of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So everything like non-acceptance, you know, not being empathic towards people. And all of the negative words that you can associate fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad wolf
mm-hmm.
is fear. And so the little boy says to the grandfather, well, which wolf wins? And the grandfather says, the one you feed.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
It's so true. You know, you can keep feeding yourself the fat, ugly, stupid that I was fed, right? And that I allowed somebody else to feed me.
Yes.
Or you can feed yourself, I am a worthwhile, wonderful person.
Right.
And you don't even have to attach, like, pretty or ugly or fat or thin. You know, you can attach other adjectives to yourself that have nothing to do with what you look like on the outside.
Uh-huh. And interestingly enough, I think that some of the adjectives we use don't have any kind of negative connotation when we're young. I think about when my oldest son, he was around 2.5, 3 years old, And we went, we were in some public place. I think we were in a hospital trying to set up some sort of medical appointment. And he's sitting up on the counter and he's like watching everybody with this great innocence. And this woman approaches us and she, we're interacting with her. And she's an obese woman, very nice. And she walks away and he said, "She's really big." And I'm thinking, oh, he needs to quiet down. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. There was nothing negative about it. I'm like, he'd never seen anybody that large before. And he was just stating a fact that had nothing negative associated with it. So how do we get to the point in our society where we're thinking in terms of this is somehow bad, shameful?
Well, you know, I'm not 100% sure. My guess is that it happens somewhere around puberty. When our bodies start changing.
Uh-huh.
I only say this because I, one summer I had my daughter go to a sleepaway camp, and because, you know, I wasn't ready to let go all that quickly, I parent chaperoned at the sleepaway camp.
Uh-huh.
She was probably 10 at the time.
Right.
It was actually the summer that I had my gastric sleeve surgery. And there were some little girls in there that, you know, I don't know, these girls are like 9 and 10 years old. They haven't developed, they haven't gone through puberty yet. And they would, like, walk out of the shower and be like, "Ah, you have to have your towel on." And I would think, "You've got nothing." Like, I'm not sure what you're hiding, but you have nothing to hide.
Right.
And so I'm not sure if it's, like, the whole puberty thing and then, like, what our parents put on us, right?
Yes, of course.
You know, big isn't a word that I can look at the word big and say, it's just a word.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
But if somebody had said to me when I was really overweight, "You're really big," I totally would have taken it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
This is an important conversation. And when we return, Nicole, I'm going to want you to talk about how to deal with the fat shame and the negative body image. Stay tuned for more with Nicole Black here in just a few moments.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to yoga teacher, certified Rolfer, and survivor of body image eating disorders, Nicole Black. She is the author of Fat Shame, Ditch the Shame, Get Confident, and Claim the Life You Deserve. Now, Nicole, if the shaming, and in particular the fat shaming, is so inherent and ingrained in our society, how do we deal with it?
Right. There's the age-old question, because we can't just go back to the playground and say, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say, bounce off me and back onto you.
Yeah.
Although that is what, you know, what I wanted to say many, many times. I'm sure that you're familiar with the book, The Four Agreements.
Yes.
So
Don Miguel Ruiz,
two,
yes.
Right? Everybody loves Don Miguel Ruiz. But I had to read that book 20 times before I really got not to take other things personally.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that what really helped me with that was starting to recognize that, you know, if someone said something to me, perhaps it was because they were having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And then rather than just deal with their own bad day, they would spew out their venom onto the next unsuspecting person, right?
So
usually me.
Share some of the examples, because I was shocked at some of the examples you gave in your book of things that actually happened to you, things that people said to you when you were overweight.
I actually didn't even put the best ones in my book because they're so incredibly unbelievable that I think you have to hear me say it to understand it.
Okay, tell us that.
So I would be working behind the counter of the bakery that I operated with my ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
And women would come in and they would look me up and down, physically look me up and down with their eyes, like you could see them moving.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd start wagging their fingers and they'd say, there's no way that you're the wife. And
standing there, I think
to myself, who are you talking to?
Oh.
And then I realized that they were talking to me. and I thought, you know, yes, I am the wife, and I am proud of who I am. But there's only so many times people can do that kind of stuff to you where, until your confidence is completely shattered.
So they thought that you were overweight and your husband was not.
Correct.
Therefore, you couldn't be married to him.
Why would an attractive man be with a woman that looked like me?
Wow.
Or other things of like, you know, say, listen, in restaurants this happens, and everybody just needs to learn how to be patient about things. Like if your food is a little bit late, you know, maybe the cook is making it extra special for you.
Right, yeah.
But rather than do that, I had a woman look at me and say, you know, if you would deal with your weight problem and you were thin, you would know how to give good customer service.
I'm sitting there
thinking, is she for real? Like, I worked for the Ritz-Carlton for many years.
Uh-huh.
I have customer service ingrained in me.
Yes.
I still carry around my Ritz-Carlton credo card everywhere I go.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, no, it's not me. I do have good customer service skills. She's grumpy. Now I get to be the person that she's taking it out on.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt like there were so many people that would just spew their venom on me. Like a woman who yelled at me that we should have agave. And, you know, I was probably just eating it all because I was so fat. And didn't I know that it came from a plant? So I went back to my ex-husband and I said, you know, apparently I'm fat because I need to eat agave or something. And it comes from a plant. And he looked at me and he said, where do you think sugar comes from?
Uh-huh.
And I had to start laughing. But those are just a few of the barbs and the insults that people would hurtle at me.
That's
I'm not going to be friends with you because you're fat. I don't want to be seen with you in public.
Aww.
You don't want to be seen with me?
Oh, gosh. And it's so strange because it's, you know, these days, if you're following the elections and the debates in the United States right now, because I know we get listeners from all over the world, but here in the United States, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of talk and a lot of situations relating to racism and sexism. And it's kind of like we're this and they're the other. There's a lot of that mentality. Well, it sounds like the same thing is true about fat. like, oh, well, we're normal weight and that person's not. Therefore, they're the other. Somehow they're less than.
They're less than, and we don't want to hang out with them because what if they eat all our food?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Don't worry. I'm not going to eat all your food. I like to eat alone at night in the dark. I didn't want people to see me eating. You know, I was very ashamed of the fact that I couldn't get in front of, you know, the weight issue.
Right. Well, I would walk into...
Every time I did, Christine, then what would happen is people would start to go, you're looking really good. Uh-oh, I'm being seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear kicks in.
Well, I think that we could have a very different perspective. If you walked into a bakery and one of the owners is overweight, you think, wow, they must make some really good stuff here because that person is, you know, packing on the pounds because it's so good, you know.
Exactly.
You could have a totally different perspective about it.
You know what? That is how I would look at it, but I also don't look at people and think, I wonder what that person weighs. It's never a thought in my brain. I don't care what anybody else weighs, and I don't think that thin is the best way to be or fat is the best way to be.
Uh-huh.
I think that being happy is truly the best way to be.
So how do we get beyond the shame? What do we do personally? I know you've got lots of exercises and a lot of perspective in your book.
Yeah, and actually dealing with the fat shaming of others, that's in Chapter 1, which is available on the Look Inside feature on Amazon if people want to go and look at that directly.
Oh, great. So they can read Chapter 1.
You can read Chapter 1 on Amazon right now. But the number one thing that you have to do when somebody starts to fat shame you, the first thing that I do, I laugh because it completely disarms the other person.
Uh-huh.
They're not expecting you to giggle. They're expecting tears. Right? They're trying to hurt you. So when you laugh, usually we don't laugh when we're being hurt. And you have to tune it out. There is a voice inside where you have to say, that is that person's opinion. They are absolutely allowed the right to their opinion.
Right.
And I am allowed the right to not believe their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinion of yourself has to be so much stronger than what anybody else on this planet thinks of you, that you know in your heart that no matter what anybody else does to you, it doesn't matter, and it's not true.
Yeah.
Unless you're a really mean person, and then it probably is true, and you probably should take stock and take a look at that.
So, what do we do when we feel bad about ourselves? Because it's one thing to say, okay, well, I'm going to see that I'm not going to take this personally because it's their stuff. You know, I can have some techniques to kind of disarm that information coming my way. But if we have inherent shame about our bodies, we look in the mirror or we don't want to look in the mirror. We want to, like, you know, make sure the lighting is dim when we're taking a shower, whatever it is. How do we deal with that when we're just feeling that way ourselves, regardless of what other people are saying?
There were two questions in there. So
sorry,
I want to make sure that I get to the first one. You know, I truly believe that we all know in our hearts, like, where our spirit lies, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mind, spirit, and then body. This is just the vessel that other people get to see us as.
Right.
And when other people are shaming you, you know, so my trigger was somebody would be mean to me, and my addiction was food.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had to do was change my relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
Because food had become like my friend, and it was my comfort. So somebody would say, you're fat, and I would say, I'll have a croissant, please.
Yes.
And I would eat it, you know. And if food isn't somebody's thing, and, you know, we all have different coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
You have to find a healthy coping mechanism, whatever that is. Mine is drinking coconut water.
Okay.
Which, you know, sounds silly, but, you know, the one that I like, the harmless coconut water, it's expensive. And so people will sometimes say, wow, you drink that? That's so expensive.
Uh-huh.
And I think, but I don't do anything else. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes.
Right.
I rarely ever drink alcohol. You know, like, for me, I will splurge on that coconut water, and I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. But you have to have a good coping mechanism.
And you deserve the expensive coconut water.
I sure do.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who feel like they are undeserving or others are undeserving. But yeah, that kind of judgment, again, that's sort of shaming in a sense. Like, you know, why would you do that? You know, that there's something wrong with that. But when in fact there's something very right. And of course, coconut water is really healthy for you too.
Well, you see, like I replaced, you know, something with a positive coping mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Or my other favorite coping mechanism is I love to listen to loud music and drive in my car. And I especially love like windy mountain roads with the music blaring and the windows open. And for me, that's like, that's a release, you know. But everybody has to find the coping mechanism that releases them from whatever the shame is, you know. And it's got to be a healthy coping mechanism, something that's not hurting anybody else, but also not hurting you.
Yes.
You know, it took me so long, Christine, to realize that I'm the only person that I'm guaranteed to get to the end of my life with. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So if I keep treating myself like I'm an afterthought, then of course other people will too.
Yeah.
But if I treat myself like I deserve the best things in life, like the best coconut water, then other people start to view me that way as well.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. We need to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Samantha.
My name is Susan Glavin.
My name is Momoy Astake.
Hi, I'm Cornelia Stephanie, and I'm here to inspire creatively wild women to rise rooted in spiritual and material abundance.
Every woman that I've spoken to has an incredible dream of bringing even more love, beauty, and harmony to their families and to their communities.
And I'm here to start an evolutionary revolution among women.
To heal their karmic debts, to transcend the shame of poverty consciousness that women have lived with for centuries. It's time for women, for you, to have a new relationship with money, to radiate wealth from the inside out. We are creating a ripple effect, empowering millions of women to claim their inner wealth. Join Susan, Samantha, Momo, and Cornelia Fridays on the Millionaire Imprint for Women at Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. And if you want to share this podcast later, go to ChristineUpchurch.com. The replay, commercial free, should be up by Monday at the latest. So stay tuned for that. Nicole, before we go any further, I want to make sure, before we run out of time, that you have an opportunity to share with listeners how they can connect with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Christine. So I have a website. It's www.nicoleblack.com. And there is a contact form on there. I love to hear other people's stories as long as it doesn't trigger them. Because I like people to know that, you know, we're not alone. So I love it when other people share their stories with me, and I love connecting with people.
So you in your book, you share some of your deep and darkest truths here of your experience, and we're not talking about all of them on the air. Why is it important for you and others to share the stories?
I think that it's important to share your stories so that you can start to detach from them. Rather than making it, you know, unless you're telling yourself these wonderful stories, you know, you stop giving it so much power when you can step away from it. You know, like we can all play armchair quarterback with other people's lives or Monday morning quarterback over the weekend, right?
Right, right.
And it's not really a fair perspective. But when you can say your own story to somebody else, can hold up a mirror for you and say, you did nothing wrong. You know, you're a beautiful person. It gives you your power back.
Right. Right.
And one of the things that I love doing is writing. I think I was born to be a writer. And I know that you and I had talked about, why is writing so good for you?
Right. And so before we go any further, I just want to note, I think I asked you a question before we got to your website. So if people do want to share their stories or connect with you to find out more about what you do, it's NicoleBlack.com. Right. Okay. So the writing. So yes, the stories, and so many of your exercises in the book relate to writing, and you've got some powerful exercises in here. And I'm kind of curious, why do you focus on writing?
Well, and I want to give your listeners another tip, because I have a lot of people say to me, "Well, I'm not a good typer, or I don't actually like writing." It is actually better for your brain to write it out on a piece of paper with a pen. But we all have smartphones, and they all have talk text capability nowadays.
I use it all the time.
Exactly. I highly encourage that. If you don't like physically writing, don't not do the exercise. Just talk text it.
Right.
You're getting it out. And writing can be, for some people, it can be kind of like a moving meditation. For me, I think that writing is actually the best medicine. You're able to have whatever it is in your brain leave your body by way of a pen, your voice, if you're talk texting, or through your computer. And then you don't have to have that be a part of your life anymore. And they also, there have been like a lot of studies done that writing is super beneficial. It activates both sides of your brain, I believe.
Right. And is it important for us, once we've written down aspects of our story, to go back and read it?
If it's helpful for you.
Okay.
If you go back and you read it and it makes you sad and it puts you into a really negative place, then no. I don't go back and read my old journals. Every now and again, I'll pick one up and I'll think, what was I don't even make any sense. And that's why I don't go back and read mine, because most of the time they don't make sense. They made sense in that moment, but they don't make sense to me now.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, I'll go back and look at something I wrote a long time ago, and I tend to write on my computer. But I've also got some journals that I write into for, like, dreams and stuff when I wake up. But when I go back there, I think, wow, I'm such a different person now. You know, it's like I can sort of understand it, but I see that I'm no longer who I was before. So, in a sense, my story has changed.
Well, and you're allowing it to change by writing it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you can see, you know, it's almost like if you were, do you remember when you gave your TEDx talk? I'm sure that you didn't have, whatever the first draft of your talk was completely different than, you know, what I was privileged enough to see. And you did a great talk, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it was very different, yeah.
Right? So whatever the first stuff that comes out, that's the stuff that's coming from your heart, you know? And it's really important to let that stuff go, because our hearts, you know, they do get bogged down with emotion.
Right.
You know? And it's really important to be able to just let go of stuff.
Yeah, and that letting go, it's interesting because I think that oftentimes we think that if we kind of avoid it, don't deal with it, don't look at it, somehow it doesn't affect us. Right?
Like the fat girl walking out onto the street and having nobody look at
exactly.
You.
Yeah, like somehow it's not there. Yeah.
Somehow it doesn't exist if I don't look at it.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's fear and it's hiding and it's not actually super beneficial.
Mm-hmm. I was fascinated about one of your exercises where you were supposed to look in the mirror and soften our gaze. What's that about?
So there was a time where I have been my own worst critic, and I've been very hard on myself for a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. I've done an excellent job of it, but I've decided to let that person take a break.
Uh-huh.
And so I wear contact lenses, and I was staying at a friend's house a few years ago, and I didn't have my contacts in.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to see myself in the mirror, like from across the room.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have like the precision of my 20/20 vision. It was probably more like 20/200 vision.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I couldn't pick out all of the minute details about myself that I don't like. And I thought, you know, wow, I like myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have soft edges.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not hard. And, you know, when you're able to look at yourself from a different lens through
yes.
maybe your best friend's rose-colored glasses,
uh-huh.
it changes your perspective on who you are
Interesting.
And how other people see you.
Yeah.
Because we're so hard on ourselves.
We are.
You know, how many times
have
you had like a scar or something on your face or like even a pimple and you think everybody in the world sees that one little flaw
uh-huh.
and then you point it out and somebody says, didn't even see that.
Yep. Yep. And it's interesting that you're talking about sort of the softening the gaze and looking without like sort of not looking under the microscope, not looking with, you know, the magnification. I just have to tell you that when I met you, I think we met in New York City, right, at the Publicity Summit, with my reader contact in. So there's a lot of magnification there. I'm looking at you thinking, what a beautiful, vibrant woman. So it's... We're so hard on ourselves that we need to soften our gaze. But even when people aren't softening their gaze, if they're good human beings, they see our beauty.
You know, that's funny that you say that. That is what I thought about you.
Oh, isn't that interesting? You know, this has been a great conversation. I've loved connecting with you on air. And this hour has flown by. I want to thank you, Nicole, for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. You're right. The hour flew by. I can't even believe that it's done.
Yeah. And I want to tell everybody again, her website is NicoleBlack.com and go to ChristineUpchurch.com for the replay of this. And thanks for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.